Good morning. Make your way in, find yourself a seat. As you have time, please use the barcode that's provided on the pew in front of you to record your visit, especially if you are a visitor. If you are visiting with us, if there's any way we could be of assistance to you while you're in our area, we'd like to find out about that. That was an amen, by the way. We'd like to find out about that and be of assistance to you as we can. Before we enter into worship this morning, I thought I'd like to review with the congregation the piece of scripture we discussed this morning during Bible class. I'll be reading from the King James in Ephesians chapter 4, and I'll be beginning with verse 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called into one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all who is above all, and through all, and in you all. It's the hope of this eldership at this congregation that this morning that you find that unison, that oneness, at this place and during this worship service. Let us begin.
Let's sing together hymn number 730. 730.
We declare.
If you join me in singing hymn number 23, Our God, He is Alive. And if you would, please stand with me as we sing this song.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Before we go to our Father in prayer, we'll sing together Blue Skies and Rainbows. Blue
skies and rainbows and sunbeams of heaven are what I have seen. When my Lord is living in me, I know that Jesus is well and alive today. He raises all in my heart. Nevermore will I be all
green valleys of beauty that surrounds me all make me aware of the one who made it all. I know that Jesus is well and alive today. He makes his home in my heart. Nevermore will I be all alone, since he promised me that we never would part.
Let us bow together in prayer. Dear Lord, we know that as a congregation and as a body of Christ, collectively we have many prayers to offer up to you. Most importantly, we know, Lord, who we pray for, who we pray to, and your everlasting presence that it is in heaven, but to know that we also serve a risen Savior, you in the flesh that came to be in this world that we have to live in, and to know that you would send your only begotten Son, that whoever us should believe in him, that we should have everlasting life. We know with that comes a lot of responsibilities. We know what our parts are to live up and to serve and to be as you had called us to be. Dear God, which art in heaven, we're thankful for this burst of life that's so observant around us, this spring, this warm weather that we have. We have so much guidance and so much education that comes from your word, and we know that we learn so much through that text, but as humans we also learn by observation, and that's the beauty that we have and the truth that becomes so evident in a life well lived in honor and praise to you, is that these things become very clear. We thank you for the seasons that you give us, not only when we're talking about weather, but our lives as humans. these times when we have different aspects of our lives, and we know that throughout each of those we can serve you. Dear Lord, as we think about our lives, we know that there are times that we need to ask for forgiveness, and we'd like to do so today. We know that with an honest and repentant heart that you do forgive, and that we know that we are called to live a life of godliness. That with that, we hope that we are the good soul, and that we can bear fruit, and that if any way we can be a leader, that we can also be a servant. Dear Lord, we're thankful. Thankful for the life you've given us. Thankful for the ability to go out and make a living, or to have that purpose that we are called to have, the ability to earn a living, to make our way, and to know that all of this is yours and that we are giving it back each and every day. We know with that, those abilities come a lot of times our physical health, but also that spiritual health that you give us. And we know that we want to hold confident the faith that we have in that spiritual health. That spiritual health that comes through a life lived for Christ, a life lived in his likeness and in his image, and sharing that with others. May we always be ready to give a defense for the faith that's within us. As we go into this lesson this morning, let us have open ears, a heart that is ready to receive your message. May we be washed in the word. May we try to understand your commands and your will for us in this life. And in that, may we see our true purpose in a life well lived. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you'd like to mark in your songbook, our song of invitation this morning will be hymn number 376. And then before we have a scripture reading and Tim brings our lesson, we'll sing together 448, the greatest commands.
Love.
There is children's training class this morning, so anyone participating in that, now would be the time to make your way out of the auditorium into your class. While they're doing that, if you want to follow along, I'll be reading from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 25 through 29, and this will be coming from the English Standard Version. See that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warned from heaven. At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of things that are shaken, that is, things that have been made, in order that things that cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire.
Welcome to spring. Maybe it's just me, but I have really looked forward to this spring more than in recent years. Seems like this winter was cold and harsh, and now I'm just loving the warm temperatures that are upon us. But can you imagine what it's going to be like when we set foot in heaven? I mean, we love springtime here on earth, the warmth, the beauty, but what will it be like in heaven? Welcome to heaven. That's just, wow, I want to be there. That's why I've devoted my life to living for Christ, and I know that's why you're here as well. So let's keep that in our sights, always thinking that one day we're going to be there if we remain faithful in Christ, and it will be so worth it. Whatever we have to pay, whatever the price, it will be so worth it. It is so good to be with you this morning and to have you with us. I was glad to be able to go to the Fried-Hardeman Lectureship last week, and it was great. And I'm happy to tell you, we had more from Central represented than I can ever remember. I think there were 17 of us there at one time or another. And a lot of that is thanks to the French and Quesenberry families, I realize that. But there were others there as well, and it was wonderful. If you want to know more about it, talk to us, because we can talk a long time about the good things that we heard and saw and experienced there as well. But it's good to be back with you. We're glad that you're visiting with us. If you're visiting with us, I have met three people I had not previously met before this morning, and I suspect there may be others. We'd love to meet you, talk to you. If we can help you in any way, please let us know. And we will do all that we can to help you with whatever your need is. Also encourage you to come back this evening at 6 o'clock. At that time, Lord willing, we'll worship again. I'm going to be talking about a lesson that I've entitled, What's Wrong with My Understanding? I know you're interested to hear that as well. What's wrong with Tim's understanding? But it's not just mine. It's about all of us. This is from the Bible. The Bible says our understanding is not sufficient. What's wrong with it? Let's see what the Word of God tells us on that. But for now, let's get our Bibles out. Let's get into the Word of God. And while you're turning there, let me just put in a plug, because this is a big event coming up. On the first Saturday of April, is it April 5th, I believe, we have the Ladies' Day coming. This has become an annual event. It's been a big event. The last 3 or 4 years, our ladies do a marvelous job preparing it and planning it, and it's not going to be any different this year. It's going to be well worth your time. So any ladies, make your plans to be here for that day and invite other ladies to come and join you as well. If you've not yet registered, get on the website and do that, but it's going to be a great day. So I really want you to know that's coming up soon, so talk it up. Now, into the Word of God, let's find things there that will help us greatly. First of all, I'll tell you, this lesson came to me from a sign from above. Well, let me be more exact, a billboard. It was a billboard as you get off the interstate, a couple of different exits coming into Johnson City. And it has this dramatic picture, somewhat like the tribal mast that you see there. And it has the Forgotten Kingdom. And that intrigued me. I thought, what in the world is that talking about? And so I looked it up on the website, and it's for a restaurant in town, a restaurant and a place to go bowling, a place to play other games. And the Forgotten Kingdom refers to a laser tag experience, I believe. And so that's what they're talking about, and it intrigued me. And then I realized, as I looked further, there was a movie that was released in 2013 entitled The Forgotten Kingdom. Let me read just a blurb from that. A young man reluctantly embarks on a journey to his ancestral land of Lesotho to bury his estranged father and finds himself drawn to the mystical beauty and hardships of the people in the land he had forgotten. Now, I've not seen the movie, but again, that intrigues me, and that word kingdom just rang in my mind, because you know what? We're part of a kingdom as well. Have we forgotten that? Do we regularly forget that we are part of a kingdom? As Joe read for us in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28, therefore let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And some may be thinking, what kingdom are you talking about, Tim? Yeah, we're part of the church, but kingdom? What do you mean by that? Let's see what God's word says. There's a lot to be said and a lot to be remembered. Let us make sure that we don't forget the kingdom that we're part of. First of all, are Christians already in God's kingdom? That's a good question to raise at the beginning, because there are many in Christendom that will say, well, no, we're not yet there. Yes, Christ came to set up a kingdom on earth, but when he was rejected, he had to run in this substitute plan, and that's what we call the church. The church is not the kingdom, they will argue. That will come later when he comes again, and then it will exist on earth for 1,000 years. And for that, they go to some imagery in the book of Revelation. I want to show you, though, in the Bible, the kingdom is here. In fact, Phil led us in the song, we declare that the kingdom of God is near or here. And that's what the Bible teaches us. Again, look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28. Let me read that again, because it says that very thing. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. You might also consider the way the NET Bible translates that. It says there, since we are receiving an unshakable kingdom. And that makes it even clearer, I think, that we are receiving it. It is in our presence now. But does that really square with the facts? Is that really what the New Testament teaches us, or is that just my theory? Let me remind you in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, Jesus had been tempted in the wilderness by Satan, had endured those temptations. Now he's ready to begin his ministry. And here's what we find in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, at hand is an idiom that we sometimes use that means it's near. It is very close. Not quite here yet, but it's getting really close. And so Jesus said, repent, get your hearts right, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, the question is, did Jesus know what he was talking about? The one who came down from heaven and died on the cross for us, did he know what he was talking about? Or was that just his hope that somehow got thwarted by mankind? Well, look again in Mark chapter 9 and verse 1. Mark chapter 9 and verse 1, on this occasion, Jesus was talking with his disciples, and he made this statement about the kingdom. He said, truly, I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God after it has come with power. So there Jesus said, some of you that are with me right now, and this was 2,000 years ago, Jesus said, some of you that are with me right now will not die until they see the kingdom of God come with power. Now again, what does that mean? It means that Jesus was under the impression that it's really getting close. It is within the lifetime of some of you that are here with me right now. Did Jesus know what he was talking about? Or are there people on earth today that are 2,000 plus years old? If so, we need to get in touch with Guinness Book of World Records and let them know that. But that's not true. There's not 2,000 year old people on earth. Jesus was saying, this is a fact. It is going to happen. John 18 and verse 36, Jesus was standing before the Roman governor Pilate. Pilate had heard the charge that Jesus was trying to overthrow the Roman Empire. And Jesus said, that's not what it's all about. That's not what I'm here for. He said, in John 18 and verse 36, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world. He said it twice. My kingdom is not of this world. And again, does that not ring a bell in our heads? It's not about a physical kingdom. It's obviously a spiritual kingdom. That's what Jesus declared. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, now this is a few years after Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, and ascended back into heaven. Listen to what Paul says in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. He says, he, talking about Jesus there, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. He has transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Now, is that something future? That's not the way it's written. It is written as a past perfect. It means it has been accomplished. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness. He has transferred us to the kingdom of his dear Son. It is an established fact, Paul said. I have an app on my phone by which I can take money out of my bank account and transfer it into your bank account. Don't count on it, but it can be done. But I can do that very easily in a matter of moments. And that's kind of what he's saying there. God has delivered us out of the domain of darkness and has transferred us. We are there now in the kingdom of his dear Son. Again, that shows the kingdom is now present. And John in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 9, writing to those that were to receive his writings, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 9, I, John, your brother and partner. How are we partners, John? What are we partners in? I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. John said, we are now partners in tribulation. We're going through it together. We are partners in the kingdom of God. It's there. It was there then, and thus it is still here today. And that agrees again perfectly with what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16 verses 18 and the first part of verse 19. You remember Peter had just made the good confession, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, to which Jesus responded with this, I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock, on this confession you've just made, this truth that I am the Christ, the Son of God, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you, Peter, he's still talking to Peter there, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. The keys of the kingdom. Jesus said, I will build my church, and then immediately said, I'm going to hand you the keys of the kingdom. Well, those are two different things, Lord. Not according to Jesus. It's one and the same. The church is the kingdom on earth. It is a spiritual kingdom. It is found all over the world. And so when we say the forgotten kingdom, do we forget that we who are Christians are part of a kingdom and all that that entails? And so now let's look at that idea. Let's talk about never forgetting. Never letting it be said of us, oh, they had a kingdom, but it was a forgotten kingdom. What do you mean by that, Tim? Well, here's what the Bible says, and I'm going to give you three quick ideas about what we must never forget if we are part of that kingdom. For example, number one, never forget that Christ, our King, has absolute authority. Never forget that Christ, our King, has absolute authority. I mean, that makes sense, doesn't it? If we're in a kingdom, we must have a king, or else it's not a kingdom. Christ is our King, and he is the one who has absolute authority. You get a hint at this in Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. Paul had written about how Christ had come down from heaven. He had emptied himself, made himself like us in a body of flesh, and then suffered death on a cross, but then was glorified by God. And here's what he goes on to say in Philippians 2, verses 10 and 11. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now that is a picture of the future. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, but that's not happening right now, is it? It should. It should happen right now. And for those who will do it then but haven't done it on earth, they will wish they had done it while living on earth, because Jesus is the King. Jesus is our Lord. And that's something that we've got to always keep in our minds. It's easy to observe, though, among those who are Christians, that sometimes it's easier to talk the talk than to walk the walk. You understand what I mean by that, I'm sure. It's easy to say, yes, I'm a Christian. I was at church on Sunday. Well, look at you now, on Monday or Wednesday or whatever it may be. Why are you doing the things that you're doing? Why is that kind of language coming out of your mouth? Why are you watching this kind of content on a movie or on the internet or whatever it may be? Have we forgotten that Christ is our King? That he is our ultimate authority? Jesus says in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, talking is not enough. That's what he says in Luke 6 and verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Is he our King? Have we forgotten that? In the busyness of the week ahead, will we forget that Jesus is the one who tells me how to live and how to think and how to talk and what to view? He is the one to whom I should bow every day. That's one thing it means about never forgetting the kingdom. The second thing I would suggest is that we should never forget the superior benefits of our kingdom. The superior benefits of our kingdom. We live in a world of glitz and glitter. Bling is the word, I think, now that we use a lot. You know, it really captures our attention. We crave it. We want it. Our minds are all about that. Have we forgotten that our kingdom offers superior benefits? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Not many details are given here, but the big idea is certainly very clear. Ephesians 1, verses 18 and 19. And in the midst of a prayer, Paul says this: having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might. And that just suggests some big things there. He talks about the riches of our glorious inheritance. And I believe that's things we inherit while we're on earth as well as when we get to heaven. Not just future benefits, but present benefits as well. And then he talks about the greatness of his power, which is why we pray to God. We pray because we know God has the ability to do all things. and maybe he will offer the help that we're asking him to give us. Do we forget those things? I mean, the world blinds us with gold and silver, but God offers us so much more. And here we can look around and see we have family. We have people that care about us, that love us. That's a blessing that comes in the kingdom. Let's never forget that the benefits of the kingdom are superior. And then Jesus made the statement, which I know you know very well, in John chapter 10 and verse 10. He talked about the thief. He was talking about himself as the good shepherd. He says, the thief only comes to steal and kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Have we stopped to think about the abundance of the life we have in Christ? Or do we think of Christianity only in terms of Sunday morning? You know, okay, it's time to get dressed and go to church, put in that bit of time that we do, and then, okay, we're off on our own again. The abundant life is 24/7. It means that we have so many riches from God. We have that joy in any situation in life. We have the peace knowing that God is with us and watching over us. We know that we have an eternal home in heaven waiting for us one day. We have so many blessings. The love of God is just so rich, so overflowing. The benefits of the kingdom are superior. Let's never forget that. And then one other idea I'll share with you, although many others could be added. Never forget the standards of kingdom life. Never forget the standards of kingdom life. And again, it's easy to get caught up in the world, isn't it? I mean, we see people around us doing this or that or the other, and sometimes it kind of creates a little bit of a twinge of conscience. You know, maybe I shouldn't do that because that doesn't look like something a Christian ought to be doing, or maybe I shouldn't go there, or whatever it may be. And yet we do it. We forget that there are standards of being members of this kingdom. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 5. And again, Paul is giving us a statement here that shows there's some things that you just cannot compromise on. If you forget this standard, you can forget about inheriting the kingdom as well. That's what he says. Ephesians 5, verse 5. You may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous. Now, those are very obscure practices in our world today, I recognize. Sexual immorality and covetousness or materialism. No, they're not. They're very common. But he says, you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Have we forgotten that? There's strong pulls on our fleshly desires, and they just pull us into it. They don't have to. God promises to make a way to escape every temptation that comes our way. Have we looked for that escape? Have we prayed for strength to escape the temptations? Because he says right there, if we forget that there are standards to be measured up to, we're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And then think about the battle that we're often reminded of in Scripture, the battle that goes on between the flesh and the spirit. Paul writes in Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God. Why? Where's the fight? It's all around us. And he talks about prayer, and he talks about hope, and he talks about the word of God, and he talks about all of these spiritual weapons and defenses. Do we take that seriously? Because there are standards to be upheld, and there is a battle going on for our hearts. Don't give in. Don't give in to Satan. Use what God has provided you to overcome. And in Matthew chapter 6, 33, another very familiar passage to most of us, I think, Matthew 6 and verse 33, Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. When he says seek first the kingdom of God, it means heaven. Someday I want to go to heaven, but it means much more than that. It means seek first the kingdom of God while we're here on earth. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now, in Matthew chapters 5 through 7, you've got a wonderful statement of kingdom standards. We call it the Sermon on the Mount. I would suggest that we go back and read that again slowly, meditatively. Think about what are the standards that Jesus is laying out here for us. But you see, we have standards. And if I ever forget that, then it will be said of me, he had a kingdom, but it was a forgotten kingdom. We can sum it up by saying we must keep in our minds regularly that we are members of Christ's kingdom. Yeah, we are members of the United States of America, and I'm very happy to say that. I love this land, and I'm patriotic, but I love far more the fact that I am a member of the kingdom of Christ. Let me never forget that. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 11, Moses was addressing people that would soon be crossing over the Jordan River. They would be entering their new promised land. They've been looking forward to it for a long time. That day is almost here, he says, but before you go, let me give you this warning. Deuteronomy 8, verse 11, take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Don't forget, Moses said. Don't forget you are people of the Almighty God, the one who brought you out of Egypt. You don't belong to other gods, which are not really gods at all. You belong to God. Don't forget him by failing to keep his commandments. There was a day when maybe you were baptized into Christ. You also crossed through the waters. And on the other side of those waters was a promised land, a land of forgiveness, a land of being in the family of God, in the kingdom of Christ. Were you warned at that time? Don't ever forget. Don't ever forget that you are to live for your king. But life happens. A lot of things come at us. We get distracted. We sometimes forget we are members of his kingdom. If that's the case, then today, let today be the day we remember and we repent if needed as members of his kingdom and people that have gone and done things that we should not have done or failed to do things we should have done. Let this be the day we say, Lord, I'm sorry. Can you forgive me? And God does offer forgiveness to his children who repent of their sins and pray for forgiveness. But if you're not yet his child, you need to hear the gospel plan of salvation. You find it often in the book of Acts. You'll find it in other places throughout the New Testament. It begins with hearing that Jesus is the Son of God and then making your decision. Do I believe that? Do I believe that he was more than a man, that he really is the Son of God, the Christ? And if I believe it, how much do I believe it? Am I willing to turn away from anything he calls sin, repenting of it? And will I confess him before others, beginning here and now and all throughout my life? Yes, I believe in Jesus. He is God's Son. I'm not ashamed of that. And would you be willing to put him on in the act of baptism, which Jesus himself commanded, which is mentioned many times throughout the New Testament, as that point at which we lay down our old self and come out of the grave of baptism, new and clean, walking in the light. Is that where you need to start this morning? If we can help you in any way, please don't hesitate. Come as we stand together and sing.
He paid the debt, he
did not owe, I owe the debt, and could not pay, I needed some blood to wash my sins away, and now I
be seated. Before we share the Lord's Supper, we'll sing together hymn number 375, 375.
Oh, the death and the riches of God's saving grace, Lord, now reveal the cross for me. Therefore, my sins by the Savior was paid, in his suffering on Calvary.
I love that idea of the forgotten kingdom and never forgetting. And when we look at King Jesus, this incredible creator of all things, the one who is before all things, who through him all things were made, Colossians 1, 15 and 16, that he holds all these things together, that he is exalted to the right hand of the Father. This is the God who is eternal and everlasting. And then as I read the Gospels, and John talks about this word that's become flesh. And there are times in the Gospels where Jesus is referred to, of course, as the Christ, or the Son of God, or the Son of Man. But then there are a lot of times where he's just referred to as Jesus. Jesus. Just a common name. And this idea that there's this eternal, everlasting God who can exist outside of time and space, and yet he chooses to make himself known in the person of one named Jesus. And the fact that he invites us into that relationship, we might think about John 13. And what does Jesus do there in John 13 for his disciples? Washes their feet. Jesus. This Jesus who serves. And at the beginning of John 13, it says that Jesus loved them to the end, eis telos, into the end, up to the fullest. And there's an aspect there again in John 13 of this Jesus getting on his hands and his knees and serving the people. But a form of that same word is used in John 19, where Jesus says, it is finished. He loved them to the end, and he loved you to the end. This God of God, this King of Kings, this Jesus invites you into relationship unlike any other we've ever experienced or ever will. And that was done through the sacrifice of the body and the blood of Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for Jesus. Father, he could go by so many names, but the fact that we get to call him brother, Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for the love that our brother Jesus gave for us. The fact that he was willing to die, even though he didn't deserve it, for people who did. Even though we owed that debt, he paid it for us because we couldn't. And so, Father, I pray that as we reflect now upon this bread, which represents the body, Father, may we do so in a way that glorifies you. And it's in your son's name that we pray. Amen. Let's go again to God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, thank you again for the blood that your Son gave. Father, this fruit of the vine, which represents that blood. Father, thank you for the fact that we get to come together every week to remember it. Not out of compulsion, but Father, because you are a giving God, and you've allowed us to come and to participate in this. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for the privilege to call you Father, that we might get to know you. And it's in your son's name that we pray. Amen. Let us pray again. Father, again we come before your throne. And Father, in the same way that Jesus gave of who he is, Father, again we thank you for an opportunity, not compulsion, but an opportunity to provide back. Father, we thank you for the work that's done here at Central. We thank you for the light that we get to show in our community and past our community. Father, we think about the mission works that we support. And Father, none of that is to glorify ourselves, but Father, may it glorify you. Father, we think about the work that's been done in our region with the hurricane and flooding and all that's come through here recently. And Father, we know it is only because of your grace and the gifts that you give to us, Father, that is the only reason why we can give back. And so Father, help us to have the same kind of spirit that your Son did. And help us to be those that give and not receive. And it's in your son's name that we pray. Amen.
Let's pray. Our Father God, we're thankful for this opportunity to come out, dear God, and do those things which you've asked us to do. We pray, dear God, as we leave this place, we would carry the lessons learned today, apply them to our lives. Help us, dear God, to be an adequate witness and example to our families, friends, our neighbors, and those places where we go. Help us to remember, dear God, that our conduct does matter to you. We pray, dear God, for these who are suffering the loss of loved ones now. Help us to not be neglect in word or deed, to offer encouragement, to lift them up in prayers. We pray for those, dear God, and there are many who are listed in our communications concerning issues with tests, pending tests, health issues. We pray, dear God, for those families, for those ones that are suffering and worried about tests. We pray for their care providers. We pray that good plans would be developed that would bring about healing. They would be returned to their good walk of life. We ask for the blessings of safe travel, Father, as we soon leave this place. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Digging Deep will meet on Monday, March the 24th at 6 p.m. The Dorcas Group will meet on Wednesday, March the 26th at 1 p.m. Washed in the Word will meet on Thursday at 10 a.m. Please don't forget Tim's announcement concerning the Central Ladies' Day. Register as soon as you can. The visitation program will meet downstairs immediately after service. Please stop by, pick up an assignment for a visit, to write a card, or to make a phone call to those that are listed. Refreshments will be available if you can stay for a bit. We have a need identified from one among us. They have a need for a twin-size bed. If you have a gently used one that you no longer need, please speak with Tim Hall. Our congratulations to Crichton Kellum, who learned this past week that he's been matched for a residency in surgery at Dartmouth College in New Hampshire. Crichton, son of Arlene and Danny Kellerman, will graduate soon from the Quillen College of Medicine. Remember these in your prayers. The family and friends of Gail Sides are mourning her passing this past Thursday after a battle with cancer. A graveside service will be conducted Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. at East Lawn Memorial Park in Kingsport. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made consistent with those listed in the obituary. Jan is being treated for a kidney infection at Princeton Transitional Care. She continues to receive physical therapy to help regain her strength. Angie Simmerly's mother, Sandra, is hospitalized at the UT Medical Center in Knoxville and is scheduled to undergo surgery on Tuesday. This is heart-related. Please be mindful for that family in your prayer. And Lakin is scheduled to undergo surgery in Johnson City on April the 2nd. Requests for assistance. The Donnells will be moving this Saturday, March 29th. It will begin moving at 10 a.m. They are requesting help moving from a place on Sid Martin Road to a place to a new home on Carroll Creek Road. Contact Dan Heaton or Randy if you are interested in helping. You're dismissed.